Our court was only allowed to remain here until Tamlin's curse ran out, but... Alice shivered. That's why you keep your nephews in hiding. To keep them away from this, I said, glancing at the full satchel at her feet. Alice nodded, and as she went to right the overturned work table, I moved to help her, both of us grunting at the weight. My sister and I served in the summer court, and she and her mate were among those put down for spite when Amarantha first invaded. I took the boys and ran before Amarantha had everyone dragged under the mountain. I came here because it was the only place to go, and asked Tamlin to hide my boys. He did. And when I begged him to let me help in whatever small way, he gave me a position here, days before the mask that put this wretched thing on my face. So I've been here for nearly 50 years, watching as Amarantha's noose grew tighter around his neck. We set the table upright again, and both of us panted a bit as we slumped against it. He tried, Alice said. Even with her spies, he tried finding ways to break the curse, to do anything against it, against having to send his men out again to be slaughtered by humans. He thought that if the human girl loved True, then bringing her here to free him was another form of slavery. And he thought that if he did indeed fall in love with her, Amarantha would do everything she could to destroy her, as her sister had been destroyed. So he spent decades refusing to do it, to even risk it. But this winter, with months to go, he just snapped. He sent the last of his men out one by one. And they were willing. They had begged him to go all these years. Tamlin was desperate to save his people, desperate enough to risk the lives of his men, risk that human girl's life to save us. 3 days in, Andras finally ran into a human girl in a clearing, and you killed him with hate in your heart. But I had failed them, and in doing so I damned them all. I had damned each and every person on this estate, damned Prithian itself. I was glad I was leaning against the table's edge, or else I might have slid to the floor. You could have broken it, Alice snarled, those sharp teeth mere inches from my face. All you had to do was say that you loved him. Say that you loved him and mean it with your whole useless human heart, and his power would have been freed, you stupid, stupid girl. No wonder Lucian had resented me and yet still tolerated my presence. No wonder he'd been so bitterly disappointed when I left, had argued with Tamlin to let me stay longer. I'm sorry, I said, my eyes burning. Alice snorted. Tell that to Tamlin. He had only 3 days after you left before the 49 years were over. 3 days, and he let you go. She came here with her cronies at the exact moment the 7 times 7 years were over and seized him, along with most of the court, and brought them under the mountain to be her subjects. Creatures like me are too lowly for her, though she's not above murdering us for sport. I tried not to visualize it. But what of the King of Highburn? If she's conquered Prithian for herself and stolen his spells, then does he see her as an insubordinate or as an ally? If they are on bad terms, he has made no move to punish her. For 49 years now she's held these lands in her grip. Worse, after the High Lords fell, all the wicked ones in our lands, the ones too awful even for the Night Court, flocked to her. They still do. She's offered them sanctuary. But we know. We know she's building her army, biding her time before launching an attack on your world, armed with the most lethal and vicious fairies in Prithian and Highburn. Like the Atter, I said, horror and dread twisting in my gut, and Alice nodded. In the human territory, I said, rumor claims more and more fairies have been sneaking over the wall to attack humans. And if no fairies can cross the wall without her permission, then that has to mean she's been sanctioning those attacks. And if I was right about what had happened to Claire Better and her family, then Amarantha had given the order for that, too. Alice wiped some dirt I couldn't see from the table we leaned against. I would not be surprised if she has sent her minions into the human realm to investigate your strengths and weaknesses in anticipation of the destruction she one day hopes to cause. This was worse, so much worse than I had thought when I warned Nesta and my family to stay on alert and leave at the slightest sign of trouble. I felt sick to think of what kind of company Tamlin was keeping. Sick at the thought of him being so desperate, so stricken by guilt and grief over having to sacrifice his sentries and never being able to tell me. And he'd let me go. Let all their sacrifices, let Andras's sacrifice, be in vain. He'd known that if I remained, I would be at risk of Amarantha's wrath, even if I freed him. I can't protect myself against them, against what's happening in Prithian. Even if we stood against the Blight, they would hunt you down. She would find a way to kill you. I remembered that pathetic effort to flatter me upon my arrival. And then he'd given up on it, on any attempt to win me when I'd seemed so desperate to get away, to never talk to him. But he'd fallen in love with me despite all that, known I'd loved him, and let me go with days to spare. He had put me before his entire court, before all of Prithian. If Tamlin were freed, if he had his full powers, I said, staring at a blackened bit of wall, would he be able to destroy Amarantha? I don't know. She tricked the High Lords through cunning, not force. Magic's a specific kind of thing. It likes rules, and she manipulated them too well. She keeps their powers locked up inside herself, as if she can't use them, or can access very little of them at least. She has her own deadly powers, yes. So if it came down to a fight. But is he stronger? I started wringing my hands. He's a High Lord, Alice replied, as if that were answer enough. But none of that matters now. He's to be her slave, and we're all to wear these masks until he agrees to become her lover. Even then, he'll never regain his full powers, and she'll never let those under the mountain go. I pushed off the table and squared my shoulders. How do I get under the mountain? She clicked her tongue. You can't go under the mountain. No human who goes in ever comes out. I squeezed my fists so hard that my nails bit into my flesh. How do I get there? It's suicide. She'll kill you even if you get close enough to see her. Amarantha had tricked him. She had hurt him so badly, hurt them all so badly. You're a human, Alice went on, standing as well. Your flesh is paper thin. Amarantha must also have taken Lucian. She had carved out Lucian's eye and scarred him like that. Did his mother grieve for him? You were too blind to see Tamlin's curse, Alice continued. How do you expect to face Amarantha? You'll make things worse. Amarantha had taken everything I wanted, everything I finally dared desire. Show me the way, I said, my voice trembling, but not with tears. No. Alice slung her satchel over a shoulder. Go home. I'll take you as far as the wall. There's naught to be done now. Tamlin will remain her slave forever, and Prithian will stay under her rule. That's what fate dealt. That was what the eddies of the cauldron decided. I don't believe in fate, nor do I believe in some ridiculous cauldron. She shook her head again, her wild brown hair like glistening mud in the dim light. Take me to her, I insisted. If Amarantha ripped out my throat, At least I would die doing something for him. At least I would die trying to fix the destruction I hadn't prevented, trying to save the people I'd doomed. At least Tamlin would know it was for him, and that I loved him. Alice studied me for a moment before her eyes softened. As you wish. Chapter 33. I might have been going to my death, but I wouldn't arrive unarmed. I tightened the strap of the quiver across my chest and then grazed my fingers over the arrow feathers peeking over my shoulder. Of course, there were no ash arrows, but I would make do with what I'd found scattered throughout the manor. I could have taken more, but weapons would only weigh me down, and I didn't know how to use most of them anyway. So I wore a full quiver, two daggers at my waist, and a bow slung over a shoulder. Better than nothing, even if I was up against fairies who'd been born knowing how to kill. Alice led me through the silent woods and foothills, pausing every so often to listen, to alter our course. I didn't want to know what she heard or smelled out there, not when such stillness blanketed the lands. Stay with the High Lord, the Suriel had said. Stay with him, fall in love with him, and all would be righted. If I had stayed, if I had admitted what I'd felt, none of this would have happened. The world steadily filled with night, and my legs ached from the steep slopes of the hills, but Alice pressed on, never once looking back to see that I followed. I was beginning to wonder whether I should have brought more than a day's worth of food when she stopped in the hollow between two hills. The air was cold, far colder than the air at the top of the hill, and I shivered as my eyes fell upon a slender cave mouth. There was no way this was the entrance, not when that mural had painted under the mountain to be in the center of Prithian. It was weeks of travel away. All dark and miserable roads lead under the mountain, Alice said, so quietly that her voice was nothing more than the rustling of leaves. She pointed to the cave. It's an ancient shortcut, once considered sacred, but no more. This was the cave Lucian had ordered the Atter not to use that day. I tried to master my trembling. I loved Tamlin, and I would go to the ends of the earth to make it right, to save him. But if Amarantha was worse than the Atter, if the Atter wasn't the wickedest of her cronies, if even Tamlin had been scared of her? I reckon you're regretting your hot-headedness right now. I straightened. I will free him. You'll be lucky if she gives you a clean death. You'll be lucky if you even get brought before her. I must have turned pale because she pursed her lips and patted me on the shoulder. A few rules to remember, girl, she said, and we both stared at the cave mouth. The darkness reeked from its maw to poison the fresh night air. Don't drink the wine. It's not like what we had at the solstice and will do more harm than good. Don't make deals with anyone unless your life depends on it. And even then, consider whether it's worth it. And most of all, don't trust a soul in there, not even your Tamlin. Your senses are your greatest enemies. They will be waiting to betray you. I fought the urge to touch one of my daggers and nodded my thanks instead. Do you have a plan? No, I admitted. Don't expect that steel to do you any good, she said with a glance at my weapons. I don't. I faced her, biting the inside of my lip. There was one part of the curse, one part we can't tell you even now, my bones are crying out just for mentioning it, one part you have to figure out on your own, one part she... She swallowed loudly. That she still doesn't want you to know, if I can't say it, she gasped out. But keep your ears open, girl. Listen to what you hear. I touched her arm. I will. Thank you for bringing me. For wasting precious hours when that satchel of supplies for herself, for her boys, said enough about where she was going. It's a rare day indeed when someone thanks you for bringing them to their death. If I thought about the danger too long, I might lose my nerve, Tamlin or no. She wasn't helping. I'll wish you luck nonetheless, Alice added.
Once you retrieve them, if you and your nephews need somewhere to flee, I said, cross the wall. Go to my family's house.
I told her the location. Ask for Nesta, my eldest sister. She knows who you are, knows everything. She will shelter you in any way she can. Nesta would do it too, I knew now. Even if Alice and her boys terrified her, she would keep them safe. Alice patted my hand. Stay alive, she said. I looked at her one last time, then at the night sky that was unfurling above us and at the deep green of the hills, the color of Tamlin's eyes. I walked into the cave. The only sounds were my shallow breathing and the crunch of my boots on stone. Stumbling through the frigid dark, I inched onward. I kept close to the wall, and my hand soon turned numb as the cold, wet stone bit into my skin. I took small steps, fearful of some invisible pit that might send me tumbling to my doom. After what felt like an eternity, a crack of orange light cleaved through the dark. And then came the voices. Hissing and braying, eloquent and guttural, a cacophony bursting the silence like a firecracker. I pressed myself against the cave wall, but the sounds passed and faded. I crept toward the light, blinking back my blindness when I found the source, a slight fissure in the rock. It opened onto a crudely carved, firelit subterranean passageway. I lingered in the shadows, my heart wild in my chest. The crack in the cave wall was large enough for one person to squeeze through, so jagged and rough that it was obviously not often used. A glance at the dirt revealed no tracks, no sign of anyone else using this entrance. The hallway beyond was clear, but it veered off, obscuring my view. The passage was deathly quiet, but I remembered Alice's warning and didn't trust my ears. Not when fairies could be silent as cats. Still, I had to leave this cave. Tamlin had been here for weeks already. I had to find where Amarantha kept him, and hopefully not run into anyone in the process. Killing animals and the Naga had been one thing, but killing any others. I took several deep breaths, bracing myself. It was the same as hunting. Only this time, the animals were fairies. Fairies who could torture me endlessly. Torture me until I begged for death. Torture me the way they tormented that summer court fairy whose wings had been ripped off. I didn't let myself think about those bleeding stumps as I eased toward the tiny opening, sucking in my stomach to squeeze through. My weapons scraped against the stone, and I winced at the hiss of falling pebbles. Keep moving, keep moving. Hurrying across the open hallway, I pressed into an alcove in the opposite wall. It didn't provide much cover. I slunk along the wall, pausing at the bend in the hall. This was a mistake. Only an idiot would come here. I could be anywhere in Amarantha's court. Alice should have given me more information. I should have been smart enough to ask. Or smart enough to think of another way, any but this. I risked a glance around the corner and almost sobbed in frustration. Another hallway carved out of the mountain's pale stone,
lined on either side by torches. No shadowy spots for concealment, and at its other end, my view was yet again obscured by a sharp turn. It was wide open. I was as good as a starving doe, ripping bark off a tree in a clearing. But the halls were silent. The voices I'd heard earlier were gone. And if I heard anyone, I could sprint back to that cave mouth. I could do reconnaissance for a time, gather information, find out where Tamlin was. No. A second opportunity might not arise for a while. I had to act now. If I stopped for too long, I'd never work up the nerve again. I made to slip around the corner. Long, bony fingers wrapped around my arm, and I went rigid. A pointed, leathery gray face came into view, and its silver fangs glistened as it smiled at me. "Hello," it hissed. "What's something like you doing here?" I knew that voice. It still haunted my nightmares. So it was all I could do to keep from screaming as its bat-like ears cocked, and I realized that I stood before the Atter. Chapter 34. The Atter kept its icy grip on my upper arm as it half-dragged me to the throne room. It didn't bother to strip me of my weapons. We both knew they were of little use. Tamlin, Alice and her boys, my sisters, Lucien. I silently chanted their names again and again as the Atter loomed above me, a demon of malice. Its leathery wings rustled occasionally, and had I been able to speak without screaming, I might have asked why it hadn't killed me outright. The Atter just tugged me onward with that slithering gait, its clawed feet making leisurely scratches on the cave floor. It looked unnervingly identical to how I had painted it. Leering faces, cruel and harsh, watched me go by, none of them looking remotely concerned or disturbed that I was in the claws of the Atter. Fairies, lots of them, but few high fae to be seen. We strode through two ancient, enormous stone doors, taller than Tamlin's manor, and into a vast chamber carved from pale rock, upheld by countless carved pillars. That small part of me that had again become trivial and useless noticed that the carvings weren't just ornate designs, but actually depicted fairies and high fae and animals in various environments and states of movement. Countless stories of Prithian were etched on them. Chandeliers of jewels hung between the pillars, staining the red marble floor with color. Here were the high fae. An assembled crowd took up most of the space, some of them dancing to strange off-kilter music, some milling about, chatting. A party of sorts. I thought I spied some glittering masks among the attendees, but everything was a blur of sharp teeth and fine clothing. The Atter hurled me forward, and the world spun. The cold marble floor was unyielding as I slammed into it, my bones groaning and barking. I pushed myself up, sparks dancing in my eyes, but stayed on the ground, kept low, as I beheld the dais before me. A few steps led onto the platform. I lifted my head higher. There, lounging on a black throne, was Amarantha. Though lovely, she wasn't as devastatingly beautiful as I had imagined. Wasn't some goddess of darkness and spite. It made her all the more petrifying. Her red-gold hair was neatly braided and woven through her golden crown, the deep color enriching her snow-white skin, which in turn set off her ruby lips. But while her ebony eyes shone, there was something that sucked at her beauty, some kind of permanent sneer to her features that made her allure seem contrived and cold. To paint her would have driven me to madness. The highest commander of the King of Highburn. She'd slaughtered human armies centuries ago, had murdered her slaves rather than free them, and she'd captured all of Prithian in a matter of days. Then I looked to the black rock throne beside her, and my arms buckled beneath me. He was still wearing that golden mask, still wearing his warrior's clothes, that baldric, even though there were no knives sheathed along it, not a single weapon anywhere on him. His eyes didn't widen, his mouth didn't tighten, no claws, no fangs. He just stared at me, unfeeling, unmoved, unimpressed. "What's this?" Amarantha said, her voice lilting despite the adder's smile she gave me. From her slender, creamy neck hung a long, thin chain, and from it dangled a single, age-worn bone the size of a finger. I didn't want to consider whom it might have belonged to as I remained on the floor. If I shifted my arm, I could draw my dagger. "Just a human thing I found downstairs," the adder hissed, and a forked tongue darted out between its razor-sharp teeth. It flapped its wings once, blasting foul-smelling air at me, and then neatly tucked them behind its skeletal body. "Obviously," Amarantha purred. I avoided meeting her eyes, focusing on Tamlin's brown boots. He was 10 feet from me. 10 feet, and not saying a word, not even looking horrified or angry. "But why should I bother with her?" The adder chuckled, the sound like sizzling water on a griddle, and a taloned foot jabbed my side. "Tell her majesty why you were sneaking around the catacombs, why you came out of the old cave that leads to the spring court." Would it be better to kill the adder, or to try to make it to Amarantha? The adder kicked me again, and I winced as its claws bit into my ribs. "Tell her majesty, you human filth!" I needed time. I needed to figure out my surroundings. If Tamlin was under some kind of spell, then I would have to worry about grabbing him. I eased to my feet, keeping my hands within casual reach of my daggers. I stared at Amarantha's glittering golden gown rather than meet her eyes. "I came to claim the one I love," I said quietly. "Perhaps the curse could still be broken." Again I looked at him, and the sight of those emerald eyes was a balm. "Oh," Amarantha said, leaning forward. "I've come to claim Tamlin, High Lord of the Spring Court." A gasp rippled through the assembled court. But Amarantha tipped back her head and laughed, a raven's caw. The High Queen turned to Tamlin, and her lips pulled back in a wicked smile. "You certainly were busy all those years. Developed a taste for human beasts, did you?" He said nothing, his face impassive. What had she done? He didn't move. Her curse had worked then. I was too late. I'd failed him. Damned him. "But," Amarantha said slowly. I could sense the adder in the entire court looming behind me. "It makes me wonder if only one human girl could be taken once she killed your sentinel." Her eyes sparked. "Oh, you are delicious. You let me torture that innocent girl to keep this one safe, you lovely thing. You actually made a human worm love you. Marvelous." She clapped her hands, and Tamlin merely looked away from her, the only reaction I'd seen from him. Tortured. She'd tortured, let him go, I said, trying to keep my voice steady. Amarantha laughed again.
Give me one reason why I shouldn't destroy you where you stand, human.
Her teeth were so straight and white, almost glowing. My blood pounded in my veins, but I kept my chin high as I said,
You tricked him. He is bound unfairly.
Tamlin had gone very, very still. Amarantha clicked her tongue and looked at one of her slender white hands, at the ring on her index finger. A ring, I noticed as she lowered her hand again, set with what looked like a human eye encased in crystal. I could have sworn it swiveled inside.
You human beasts are so uncreative. We spent years teaching you poetry and fine speech, and that is all you can come up with? I should rip out your tongue for letting it go to waste.
I clamped my teeth together.
But I'm curious. What eloquence will pour from your lips when you behold what you should have been?
My brows narrowed as Amarantha pointed behind me, that hideous eye ring indeed looking with her, and I turned. There, nailed high on the wall of the enormous cavern, was the mangled corpse of a young woman. Her skin was burned in places, her fingers were bent at odd angles, and garish red lines crisscrossed her naked body. I could hardly hear Amarantha over the roar in my ears.
Perhaps I should have listened when she said she'd never seen Tamlin before, Amarantha mused. Or when she insisted she'd never killed a fairy, never hunted a day in her life. Though her screaming was delightful, I haven't heard such lovely music in ages.
Her next words were directed at me.
I should thank you for giving Recent her name instead of yours.
Claire Better. This was where they'd taken her, what they'd done to her after they burned her family alive in their house. This was what I'd done to her by giving Recent her name to protect my family. My insides twisted. It was a concentrated effort not to empty my stomach onto the stones. The adder's talons dug into my shoulders as it shoved me around to face Amarantha, who was still giving me that snake's smile. I had as good as killed Claire. I'd saved my own life and damned her. That rotting body on the wall should be mine. Mine. Mine.
Come now, precious, Amarantha said. What have you to say to that?
I wanted to spit that she deserved to burn in hell for eternity, but I could only see Claire's body nailed there, even as I stared blankly at Tamlin. He'd let them kill Claire like that, to keep them from knowing that I was alive. My eyes stung as bile burned my throat.
Do you still wish to claim someone who would do that to an innocent?
Amarantha said softly, consolingly. I snapped my gaze to her. I wouldn't let Claire's death be in vain. I wasn't going down without a fight.
Yes, I said. Yes, I do.
Her lip curled back, revealing two sharp canines. And as I stared into her black eyes, I realized I was going to die. But Amarantha leaned back in her throne and crossed her legs.
Well, Tamlin, she said, putting a proprietary hand on his arm. I don't suppose you ever expected this to occur.
She waved a hand in my general direction. A murmur of laughter from those assembled echoed around me, hitting me like stones.
What do you have to say, High Lord?
I looked at the face I loved so dearly, and his next words almost sent me to my knees.
I've never seen her before. Someone must have glamored her as a joke, probably Recent.
still trying to protect me, even now, even here.
Oh, that's not even a halfway decent lie.
Amarantha angled her head.
Could it be that you, despite your words so many years ago, returned the human's feelings? A girl with hate in her heart for our kind has managed to fall in love with a fairy, and a fairy whose father once slaughtered the human masses by my side has actually fallen in love with her too?
She let out that crow's laugh again.
Ah, this is too good. This is too fun.
She fingered the bone hanging from her necklace and looked at the encased eye upon her hand.
I suppose if anyone can appreciate the moment, she said to the ring, it would be you, Jurian.
She smiled prettily.
A pity your human whore on the side never bothered to save you, though.
Jurian, that was his eye, his finger bone.
Horror coiled in my gut. Through whatever evil, whatever power, she somehow held his soul, his consciousness, to the ring, the bone. Tamlin still looked at me without recognition, without a flicker of feeling. Perhaps she had used that same power to glamour him. Perhaps she'd taken all his memories.
The queen picked at her nails. Things have been awfully boring since Claire decided to die on me. Killing you outright, human, would be dull.
She flicked her gaze to me, then back to her nails, to the ring on her finger. But fate stirs the cauldron in strange ways. Perhaps my darling Claire had to die in order for me to have some true amusement with you. My bowels turned watery. I couldn't help it.
You came to claim Tamlin, Amarantha said. It wasn't a question, but a challenge. Well, as it happens, I'm bored to tears of his sullen silence. I was worried when he didn't flinch while I played with darling Claire, when he didn't even show those lovely claws. But I'll make a bargain with you, human, she said,
and warning bells pealed in my mind.
Unless your life depends on it, Alice had said.
You complete 3 tasks of my choosing. 3 tasks to prove how deep that human sense of loyalty and love runs. And Tamlin is yours.
Just 3 little challenges to prove your dedication. To prove to me, to darling Jurian, that your kind can indeed love true. And you can have your High Lord. She turned to Tamlin.
Consider it a favor, High Lord. These human dogs can make our kind so lust-blind that we lose all common sense. Better for you to see her true nature now.
I want his curse broken, too, I blurted. She raised a brow, her smile growing, revealing far too many of those white teeth.
I complete all 3 of your tasks, and his curse is broken, and we, and all of his court, can leave here and remain free forever, I added.
Magic was specific, Alice had said. That was how Amarantha had tricked them. I wouldn't let loopholes be my downfall.
Of course, Amarantha purred. I'll throw in another element, if you don't mind. Just to see if you're worthy of one of our kind, if you're smart enough to deserve him.
Jurian's eye swiveled wildly, and she clicked her tongue at it. The eye stopped moving.
I'll give you a way out, girl, she went on. You'll complete all the tasks. Or, when you can't stand it anymore, all you have to do is answer 1 question.
I could barely hear her above the blood pounding in my ears. A riddle.
You solve the riddle, and his curse will be broken. Instantaneously. I won't even need to lift my finger and he'll be free. Say the right answer, and he's yours. You can answer it at any time, but if you answer incorrectly.
She pointed, and I didn't need to turn to know she gestured to Claire.
I turned her words over, looking for traps and loopholes within her phrasing. But it all sounded right. And what if I fail your tasks?
Her smile became almost grotesque, and she rubbed a thumb across the dome of her ring.
If you fail a task, there won't be anything left of you for me to play with.
A chill slithered down my spine.
Alice had warned me against bargains. But Amarantha would kill me in an instant if I said no. What is the nature of my tasks?
Oh, revealing that would take all the fun out of it.
But I'll tell you that you'll have one task every month, at the full moon.
And in the meantime? I dared a glance at Tamlin. The gold in his eyes was brighter than I remembered.
In the meantime, Amarantha said a bit sharply, you shall either remain in your cell or do whatever additional work I require.
If you run me ragged, won't that put me at a disadvantage?
I knew she was losing interest, that she hadn't expected me to question her so much, but I had to try to gain some kind of edge.
Nothing beyond basic housework. It's only fair for you to earn your keep.
I could have strangled her for that, but I nodded.
Then we are agreed. I knew she waited for me to echo her response, but I had to make sure. If I complete your three tasks or solve your riddle, you'll do as I request?
Of course, Amarantha said. Is it agreed?
His face, ghastly white, Tamlin's eyes met with mine and they almost imperceptibly widened.
No.
But it was either this or death. Death like Claire's, slow and brutal.
The adder hissed behind me, a warning to reply. I didn't believe in fate or the cauldron, and I had no other choice.
Because when I looked into Tamlin's eyes, even now, seated beside Amarantha as her slave or worse, I loved him with a fierceness that swept up my whole heart. Because when he had widened his eyes, I'd known he still loved me. I had nothing left but that, but the shred of fool's hope that I might win, that I might outwit and defeat a fairy queen as ancient as the stone beneath me.
Well?
Amarantha demanded. Behind me, I sensed the adder preparing to pounce, to beat the answer from me if need be. She'd tricked them all, but I hadn't survived poverty and years in the woods for naught. My best chance lay in revealing nothing about myself or what I knew.
What was her court but another forest, another hunting ground?
I glanced at Tamlin one last time before I said, agreed. Amarantha gave me a small, horrible smile, and magic sizzled in the air between us as she snapped her fingers. She nestled back in her throne.
Give her a greeting worthy of my hall, she said to someone behind me.
The adder's hiss was my only warning as something rock hard collided with my jaw. I was thrown sideways, stunned from the pain, but another brutal blow to my face awaited. Bones crunched, my bones. My legs twisted beneath me, and the adder's leathery skin grated against my cheek as it punched me again. I ricocheted away, but met with the fist of another, a twisted lesser fairy whose face I didn't glimpse. It was like being slugged with a brick. Crunch, crack. I think there were three of them, and I became their punching bag, passed off from blow to blow, my bones screaming in agony. Maybe I was screaming in agony too. Blood sprayed from my mouth, and its metallic tang coated my tongue before I knew no more.
Chapter 35. My senses slowly returned to me, each one more painful than the last. The sound of dripping water first, then the fading echo of heavy footsteps. A lingering coppery taste coated my mouth. Blood. Above the wheezing of what had to be my clogged nostrils, the tang of mold and the reek of mildew scented the damp, cold air. Sharp bits of hay jabbed my cheek. My tongue probed the makings of a split lip, and the movement set my face on fire. Wincing, I opened my eyes, but could only manage to widen them a little. Swelling. What I beheld through my undoubtedly black eyes didn't do much for my spirits. I was in a prison cell. My weapons were gone, and my only sources of light were the torches beyond the door. Amarantha had said a cell was to be where I would spend my time, but even as I sat up, my head so dizzy I almost blacked out again, my heartbeat quickened. A dungeon. I examined the slants of light that crept in through the cracks between the door and the wall, then gingerly touched my face. It ached. Ached worse than anything I'd ever endured. I bit down on a cry as my fingers grazed my nose, flakes of blood crumbling from my nostrils. It was broken. Broken. I would have clenched my teeth had my jaw not been a throbbing mess of agony, too. I couldn't panic. No, I had to keep my tears in check, had to keep my wits together. I had to survey the damage as best I could, then figure out what to do. Maybe my shirt could be used for bandages. Maybe they would give me water at some point to wash out the injuries. Taking a breath that was all too shallow, I explored the rest of my face. My jaw wasn't broken, and though my eyes were swollen and my lip was split, the worst damage was to my nose. I curled my knees to my chest, grasping them tightly as I reined in my breathing. I'd violated one of Alice's rules. I'd had no choice, though, seeing Tamlin seated beside Amarantha. My jaw protested, but I ground my teeth anyway. The full moon. It had been a half moon when I left my father's home. How long had I been unconscious down here? I wasn't foolish enough to believe that any amount of time would prepare me for Amarantha's first task. I didn't allow myself to imagine what she had in mind for me. It was enough to know that she expected me to die, that there wouldn't be enough left of me for her to torture. I gripped my legs harder to keep my hands from shaking. Somewhere, not too far off, screaming began. A high-pitched, pleading bleat, accented with crescendos of shrieking that made bile sting in my throat. I might sound like that when faced with Amarantha's first task. A whip cracked, and the screaming built, hardly pausing for a breath. Claire had probably cried similarly. I had as good as tortured her myself. What had she made of all this? All these fairies lusting after her blood and misery? I deserved this, deserved whatever pain and suffering was in store, if only for what she had endured. But I would make it right, somehow. I must have drifted off at some point, because I awoke to the scrape of my cell door against stone. Forgetting the cascading pain in my face, I scrambled to duck into the shadows of the nearest corner. Someone slipped into my cell and swiftly shut the door, leaving it just a bit ajar.
Vera?
I tried to stand, but my legs shook so badly that I couldn't move. Lucian? I breathed, and the hay crunched as he dropped to the ground before me.
By the cauldron, are you all right?
My face. A small light flared by his head, and as his eyes swam into view, the metal one narrowed. He hissed.
Have you lost your mind? What are you doing here?
I fought the tears. They were pointless anyway. I went back to the manor. Alice told me about the curse, and I couldn't let Amarantha—
You shouldn't have come, Thera, he said sharply. You weren't meant to be here. Don't you understand what he sacrificed in getting you out? How could you be so foolish?
Well, I'm here now, I said, louder than was wise. I'm here, and there's nothing that can be done about it, so don't bother telling me about my weak human flesh and my stupidity. I know all that, and I wanted to cover my face in my hands, but it hurt too much. I had to tell him that I love him, to see if it wasn't too late.
Lucian sat back on his heels.
So you know everything, then?
I managed to nod without blacking out from the pain. My agony must have shown because he winced.
Well, at least we don't have to lie to you anymore. Let's clean you up a bit.
I think my nose is broken, but nothing else.
As I said it, I looked around him for any signs of water or bandages, and found none. It would be magic then. Lucian glanced over his shoulder, checking the door.
The guards are drunk, but their replacements will be here soon, he said, and then studied my nose.
I braced myself as I allowed him to gently touch it. Even the graze of his fingertips sent flashes of burning pain through me.
I'm going to have to set it before I can heal it.
I clamped down on my blind panic.
Do it, right now.
Before I could wallow in my cowardice and tell him to forget about it, he hesitated.
Now, I panted.
Too swift for me to follow, his fingers latched onto my nose. Pain lanced through me, and a crack burst through my ears, my head, before I fainted.
When I came to, I could open both eyes fully, and my nose was clear, and didn't throb or send agony splintering through my face.
Lucian was crouched over me, frowning.
I couldn't heal you completely. They would know someone helped you. The bruises are there, along with a hideous black eye, but all the swelling's gone.
And my nose?
I said, feeling it before he answered.
Fixed. As pert and pretty as before.
He smirked at me. The familiar gesture made my chest tighten to the point of pain.
I thought she'd taken most of your power, I managed to say. I'd barely seen him handle magic at all while at the estate. He nodded to the little light bobbing over his shoulder.
She gave me back a fraction to entice Tamlin to accept her offer, but he still refuses her.
He jerked his chin to my healed face.
I knew some good would come of being down here.
So you're trapped under the mountain too?
A grim nod.
She's summoned all the High Lords to her now, and even those who swore obedience are now forbidden to leave until your trials are over.
Until I was dead was probably what he truly meant.
That ring, I said, is it actually Jurian's eye?
Lucian cringed.
Indeed. So you really know everything then?
Alice didn't say what happened after Jurian and Amarantha faced each other.
They wrecked an entire battlefield, using their soldiers as shields until their forces were nearly all dead. Jurian had been gifted some protection against her, but once they entered into single combat, it didn't take her long to render him prone. Then she dragged him back to her camp and took weeks to torture and kill him. She refused orders to march to the King of Highburn's aid, cost him armies and the war. She refused to do anything until she'd finished Jurian's demise. All that she kept was his finger bone and his eye. Clithia promised him that he would never die. And so long as Amarantha keeps that eye of his preserved through her magic, keeps his soul and consciousness bound to it, he'll remain trapped, watching through it. A fitting punishment for what he did, but...
Lucian tapped his own missing eye.
I'm glad she didn't do the same to me. She seems to have an obsession with that sort of thing.
I shuddered. A huntress. She was little more than an immortal, cruel huntress, collecting trophies from her kills and conquests to gloat over through the ages. The rage and despair and horror Jurian must endure every day for eternity. Deserved, perhaps, but worse than anything I could imagine. I shook the thought from me. Is Tamlin?
He's...
But Lucian shot to his feet at a sound my human ears couldn't hear.
The guards are about to change rotations and are headed this way. Try not to die, will you? I already have a long list of fairies to kill. I don't need to add more to it, if only for Tamlin's sake.
Which was, no doubt, why he'd even come down here. Lucian vanished. Just vanished into the dim light. A moment later, a yellowish eye tinged with red appeared at the peephole in the door, glared at me, and continued onward. I dozed on and off for what could have been hours or days. They gave me 3 miserable meals of stale bread and water at no regular interval that I could detect. All I knew when the door to my cell swung open was that my relentless hunger no longer mattered, and it would be wise not to struggle when the 2 squat, red-skinned fairies half-dragged me to the throne room. I marked the path, picking out details in the hall, interesting cracks in the walls, features in the tapestries, an odd bend, anything to remind me of the way out of the dungeons. I observed more of Amarantha's throne room this time too, noting the exits. No windows as we were underground. And the mountain I'd seen depicted on that map at the manor was in the heart of the land, far from the spring court, even farther from the wall. If I were to escape with Tamlin, my best chance would be to run for that cave in the belly of the mountain. A crowd of fairies stood along a far wall. Over their heads, I could make out the arch of a doorway. I tried not to look up at Claire's rotting body as we passed, and instead focused on the assembled court. Everyone was clad in rich, colorful clothing, all of them seeming clean and fed. Dispersed among them were fairies with masks, the spring court. If I had any chance of finding allies, it would be with them. I scanned the crowd for Lucian, but didn't find him before I was thrown at the foot of the dais. Amarantha wore a gown of rubies, drawing attention to her red-gold hair and to her lips, which spread in a serpentine smile as I looked up at her. The fairy queen clicked her tongue.
You look positively dreadful.
She turned to Tamlin, still at her side. His expression remained distant.
Wouldn't you say she's taken a turn for the worse?
He didn't reply. He didn't even meet my gaze. You know, Amarantha mused, leaning against an arm of her throne. I couldn't sleep last night, and I realized why this morning. She ran an eye over me.
I don't know your name. If you and I are going to be such close friends for the next 3 months, I should know your name, shouldn't I?
I prevented myself from nodding. There was something charming and inviting about her. A part of me began to understand why the High Lords had fallen under her thrall, believed in her lies. I hated her for it. When I didn't reply, Amarantha frowned.
Come now, pet. You know my name. Isn't it fair that I know yours?
There was movement to my right, and I tensed as the adder appeared through the parted crowd, grinning at me with row after row of teeth.
After all,
Amarantha waved an elegant hand to the space behind me, the crystal casing around Jurian's eye catching the light. You've already learned the consequences of giving false names. A black cloud wrapped around me as I sensed Claire's nailed form on the wall behind me.
Still, I kept my mouth shut.